How are you?
I'm doing well. What do you need?
Oh, this is Zach.
Oh, Zach. Oh, okay. You're a
Yeah.
little early.
Oh, well, sorry about that.
That's
How's
all right. Huh?
your morning going?
I've had about 7 or 8 scammers already.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What do they call? What do they call and ask you?
They don't call and ask you anything, man. There's certain numbers. I write the numbers down and then I look them up. I'm getting ready to get some gear that I'm getting
Yeah.
ready to purchase, where I can call them back,
Oh, really?
whether they like it or not. But
Okay.
the other night I had a meeting with my fraternity brother, and he's a senator, and we're getting ready to stop these scam callers. I don't think it's fair that people can just pick up the telephone and call people's houses
Yeah.
anytime they feel like doing it. Nobody's going to do business with them because they don't know them. There are some people.
They
There are some.
scammed, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not that so much. It's just that in this day and time, nobody's going to give up their credit card numbers. I
Yeah.
mean, I don't even give my number to the police when they call because I'm not sure if they are the police and they are looking for money. I'm not going to write somebody a blank check and send it to them so that they can. I don't do business on with the banks online, period. So I don't worry about somebody stealing my money because they don't have my checking account number because it's not online. It's not on any of my computers
Yeah,
or smartphone.
absolutely. Well, you gotta be cautious.
Well, it's not a good way to do business. It really and truly isn't. It never has been, and it never will be. So when I watch the news and somebody got beat out of $250,000, I really don't have any remorseful feelings for them. And I hate to say that. I'm saying to myself, how stupid can you be?
Yeah. There are some good ones, like not good ones, but like there are some scams out there that just, older people, they just fall, they don't know.
Well, that goes to show you that you can't point fingers at people and think that you know everything when you don't know anything. And then you get victimized.
Yep.
See, what I have found out in the last 8 years that there are a lot of uneducated people in America. A lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
They've been able to get by, but yet they tell you that you need to go get an education. But
Yep.
they don't have one. And
Yeah.
they end up being the victims.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, and that's the sad part. The other sad part is the elected officials that we have, they're just as crooked. There should be an audit. If you win a seat in the state or at the national level, there should be an audit. And it should be posted how much money you have and how much you are worth going into the new position. And then when you come out 4 years later or 8 years later, you should have another self-audit on how much money you made and who bought you.
Yeah. Well, these people,
Well, it's about moving the money. And it's the money game that's messing up the economy.
yeah.
Like everybody is upset over the border.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be upset over the border. they should be upset over the people in America who use all these drugs, these opioids, meth, and all that stuff. That's the reason why people are coming to America. They're not coming here to look for a job. These are mules who are coming here with drugs to sell to America because we do a lot of drugs.
Yeah. That's
so they
true.
Get into the, and the sad part about it, the smoke screen is the people who are coming to this country undocumented. But they're not here to look for a job. They're here to open up new markets for the cartels. If you do the research on South America and a lot of these third world countries, you'll find out that their GNP has tripled.
Yeah.
Now, the people in these South American countries and third world countries, they have no industry, but they know who does all the drugs.
That's right.
And that's us, Americans. We start doing drugs at 12, 13, 14, 15 years old.
Well, that's, access, everybody gives us access. So.
Yeah, well, everybody, I'm trying to figure out why is it that as easy as we have it here, and all of the vets like myself who have paid the ultimate price that didn't make it back home to protect this country, why is it nobody really gives a damn about veterans? The vets are the gatekeepers. We're the ones who make it safe for everybody else. It's not the guys in blue. They just as crooked as every damn body else. They get out there and they're going to make their money.
Yep. Well,
That's where we are. And it's not going to change. They're talking about the schools. There's no arts for the kids. They are gangbangers now. That's all they do. They got girls now. 12, 13. My wife is a teacher. And she has gangbangers' children that she's trying to teach. They can't spell. They're 6 and 7 years old. They cannot spell one word. They cannot write. They don't know what a subject is or a predicate is or anything. But yet they are out here in the streets at night, going to clubs, dancing, doing drugs, and shooting and killing people. And it fuels the TVs, so they get a chance to have an 11 o'clock news, and they give you not a complete sentence when they tell you what the topic is.
Right.
They give you sentence fragments. So after you look at the news, you realize you haven't learned a damn thing.
Sure. Well, that's the world.
Yeah. But it don't have to be like that, man. I didn't grow up like that. And I realize I'm 70 now, but it wasn't like that in the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. It didn't get like that until 2010.
Well, the best thing you can do is just
do
your own, do what's best for yourself in a way.
Well, that's what they want you to do. It don't work like that.
It really
and truly don't. You got to be on a team. You really and truly have to, otherwise you're not going to make it. You can't do it by yourself. It doesn't work. I learned that when I was in Vietnam.
Yeah, well, I agree with you.
Yeah, it don't work. So, what I wanted to ask you was, my house.
Yeah.
Up in Richmond, I'm dealing with Truist.
Mm-hmm.
They claim that
you
owe them $70,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought the house in 1987. Now you do the numbers. Isn't that 41 years? So why isn't my house paid off? Now,
37 yeah, years, yeah.
Yeah, the VA loan is no longer on it. What happened? They won't answer these questions for me. Who do I go to talk to about that? Before I go back to Truist, because see, the next time I go back to Truist, I'm taking some lawyers with me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a loan on that house. I have not taken any money out of that house since I've owned it.
You have? Can they provide you with documentation stating otherwise?
They won't give it to me. I've been trying to get it for 6 months. I can't even get an appointment to talk to anybody in their legal department up in Richmond. They keep mm-hmm. bullshitting me. Excuse my French, but they keep giving me the right.
Well, that's interesting. Is the money being drafted out of your account?
Yeah, it's been coming out ever since 1987. I haven't missed a payment. They tried to pull that on me.
So you keep paying them, and you're saying you don't owe them.
No, I said, you know, it dawned on me that my 30 years is up. It was a VA loan. Now I don't have a VA loan. I want to know what happened. What I did do with them was this. I went to refinance the house when it was 7% interest down to 3.75. I didn't take any money out.
You didn't take any money out? Okay.
No, I've never taken any money out.
But when you refinance, though, you're refinancing at the new value, so, you know, the value was probably went up. And so you might have gotten a better rate, but, you know, you're refinancing at the current value, so it's definitely likely that, you know, you would owe more.
Well, no, I can't see how I can go from 7% down to 2% and I owe more.
Because if you went from 7 to 2 and the, you know, the house is worth, you know, whatever the house was worth when you went from 7 to 2, you know, in my opinion, and, you know, we're just talking here. So
yeah.
In my opinion, you know, it would, you know, I would think that Truist wouldn't, you know, do anything scandalous. So first of all, I would think that.
Well, I wouldn't know anything scandalous to do because I have no control over it.
Right. Well, I guess my thing is if you're refinancing from 7 to 2, you're getting a better monthly payment, but your payment, you know, your payment schedule changes. So refinance resets the 30 years.
But see, nobody told me that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have done that. Otherwise I would have taken some money out. Now,
and here's the thing. Regardless, you did the right thing.
Uh huh.
I mean, you did. You did. Even, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. You might be still paying on it, but 7 to 2 is, I mean, that's over triple.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't beat yourself up too much on it.
But I was hoping that this house would have been paid for by now,
right,
so I could have the option of either giving it to my daughter or selling it. And since my daughter is not talking to me, I have no need to, you know, to continue to try to change her opinion of me and who I am. I'm a non-custodial dad, and I got hung up in one of those things where I had a moment with a young lady And I was told that I couldn't have children by my first wife. And then I found out that she had three abortions. And when Pat, who was the mother of my daughter, told me that she was pregnant, I told her, I said, well, it couldn't be by me because I don't have any children. At the time, I'd been married 20 years to my first wife. But
who had been lying.
Who had been lying to me, because she had covered everything up because I found out she was a lesbian. Now, I don't mind sharing this with you. I met her when I was 17 in Bible school. And so by the time we turned 30, I didn't know who she was.
Yeah, it sounds like you didn't know who she was from the beginning, but yeah.
No, well, people lie. It's one thing that I can tell you as an older person now is we as men don't ask questions. We assume too much. We try to be a gentleman. And it don't work. I think that's the reason why women like bad boys. They don't like good men. They like bad boys. Even the girls in my generation, they liked bad boys. Now that I'm a baby boomer and I'm the older generation, nothing has changed. It really truly hasn't. And the reason why I can say that is because I'm in broadcasting. I'm still in radio. I'm on the air. I have to make personal appearances, and I make a lot of them. And I don't see any difference in the women of generation Gen X, Y, and Z, or the baby boomers. Now, see, I'm further down the road than you are because I'm older than you, I'm assuming.
You are.
Like maybe you and your, I'm assuming you're in your 20s or 30s. I'm 70. But
it's under 30.
Yeah. So the women today are no different than they were in the 70s. Women experiment with their sexuality more than men do. We men don't want to hear that, but they do. We think that we're getting somebody like mom, and we're not. We're getting somebody like Aunt Emma, who ran away with a biker. Women today are different. I mean, I'm being honest with you. I go to a wedding and they're playing hip hop, and every other word is MF this, MF that. And they got people's parents sitting there.
Yeah.
Then you got the guys up there on their phones. And the girls, the bridesmaids, they're up there on their phones.
Living it through the phone.
Yeah, man. And there are no virgins anymore. Not that you need a virgin. Don't get me wrong. I believe in sexual freedom. Don't get me wrong. But the thing is, do you want a new car or a used car? Or do you want one that's been totaled? And that's what you got. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I'm any different than any other man, even a younger man. I think that what you would want to take home to your mom and dad is no different than what I wanted to take home to mine. You know, we don't mind partying with certain women, but we don't want to marry certain women.
True.
Yeah. And it's the same way with them. They're no different. As you get older, you learn. Every 10 years, you perform a self-audit. That's what I've done. Every 10 years, I'll sit down and I'll go over my life and where I'm going. But fortunately, you know, I've made good investments. And I've gone to school and everything. Now, see, I got somebody calling me now, 778-8677. It's nothing but a scam call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm gonna stop all that stuff. It's too early in the morning. Nobody should be able to call on nobody at 8:41. You know, I don't usually wake up until 9. But that's where I'm at with it. That's what I wanted to ask you. I do have somebody in the house. They're still in there. They want to buy it. I don't think that they're going to be able to, because I don't see where they're making. I don't see where they're qualifying the way most companies or most banks want them to qualify.
Yeah.
Because things have changed. Now, where are you located? Are you in Virginia?
Yeah, I'm in Ashland, technically.
You're in where?
Ashland.
You're in Ashland, yeah. Well, you know, I worked at Q94 when I was in Richmond.
Okay.
In WRVA. And I used to MC all the shows at King's Dominion every summer up under the Eiffel Tower.
Okay.
Yeah. And I worked at Magic 99. And I worked at WANT, and I was ops manager at the public radio station, TV station, WCVE.
Yeah, so you've been around the block.
Yeah, I went to VCU. I lived down on Franklin Street, on Franklin Towers, down the street from the library on the right-hand side. And then I... left to go to Virginia State. I ended up getting a state job, and Virginia State hired me to put up their radio station, 91.3 WVST. And that's how I ended up at State, and that's how I got my undergrad, going to school on my lunch break. Then I left there in 1994 and went to Raleigh-Durham and put up another radio station for WNCU, which was North Carolina Central University, which was across the street from Duke. And then in 1998, I put up the radio station at Duke. And then I left to go back home to Roanoke, and I put up Vibe 100 in Roanoke. And then in 2002, I ended up down here working for Clear Channel, doing the Quiet Storm and everything. And I've been stuck down here ever since. I was 53 when I got down here in 2003.
Yeah.
Now I'm 77. You know, the time has really passed. Made some good money. But shared with you, I'm going to try to sell this house at least by July. I told them I would give them until July to find funding.
Yeah.
Or they would have to go, because I wasn't going to sell the house to somebody with tenants already in there. Now, I'm getting $2,000 a month. The house was out there. Yeah, I'm making that on it. The house is out there in Chesterfield County, a place called. Have you ever heard of Soul?
Yeah.
Two?
Yeah. Hey, Clarence, I'm sorry. Do you mind if I call you back or we reschedule for another?
Yeah, we can reschedule for another. Tomorrow morning's fine. Call me tomorrow.
Okay, I'll call you. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Bye.